The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Good evening and welcome to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. I'm your host, Samuel Honnell, broadcasting from Mexico's cartel country, from the Badlands beyond the Rio Grande. What a wild week it has been in the news. Finally, the United States Air Force blasted the Chinese surveillance balloon, the Chinese weapons platform that floated across the entire continental USA. Another one has floated from Costa Rica into Venezuela, of course from the Pacific first. Costa Rica, Venezuela, Brazil, and may at this point be out over the Atlantic. Are there any Patriot jet jockeys in Brazil? Maybe you can do likewise. We could get a little contest going. I thought they were all going to stand down again and I was going to have to use my own secret weapon and send Space Ghost the Cat up there. Because, you know, Space Ghost the Cat has sharp claws and he has the ability to traverse the stratosphere. At last, the jet jockeys did their job, so Space Ghost is just in the corner curled up, watching me with bated kitten breath, ready to hear the news, Pastor Sam's Latin America War Report. A few Bible verses, and as always, some old time of rock and roll. Just take those old records off the shelf. I do a lot of throwbacks to 1983, 84, 85, because that is when nuclear war and world war was a real possibility for us as Americans. 1985, Rambo came out, First Blood Part 2. 1984 was the famous Red Dawn and the Wolverines, and this is the year that Orwell prophesied that global government would come at last. Nuclear war was a very real possibility. Many things happened in 1984, along with the release of the Macintosh computer. 1983 is when this song came out. This is by Nina, and it's 99 Red Balloons in the English version. Some more commentary on that. The German version, which is Nina's native language, is 99 Luftballons, flying balloons. It doesn't specify a color, but in the English version, she does, and she chooses red, of course, that fits lyrically and rhythmically, but it's also the color of communism, and the Soviet Union was very much the enemy, especially of West Berlin in 1983. This is before the wall came down, the Cold War. Well, we call it the Cold War. The fact is it was hotter than a tamale in 1983. We were 3 years into Reaganomics and the rebuilding of the U.S. military. So that's what was going on when this song came out and when Nina wrote it. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of the truest of the Trump-supporting congressional representatives, put this song out in a tweet today. And of course, talking about the Chinese balloon that's been passing over the United States. And there are a number of balloons, some of them over Latin America, some of them in the southern hemisphere, one over Costa Rica, another over Australia. This is a very serious security concern. They could have biological weapons. Of course, they could be used for espionage. They could carry a nuclear payload and perhaps deliver an electromagnetic pulse more effectively than a space-based weapon or an intercontinental missile. Finally, the first of these balloons transited the United States, went out over the North Carolina coast, and was shot down by the United States Air Force in a huge combined operation with aerial tankers, airports shut down, not only restriction of flight operations by many airports, but restriction even of ground operations. The runways had to be kept completely clear in case this thing went wild weasel and those runways were needed for Air Force aircraft. And just to put a fine point on this, I don't believe that an enemy aircraft has been shot down over the United States in my lifetime. In my lifetime. All of the conflicts that have come and gone and gotten hot, I don't believe an enemy aircraft, especially an aircraft from a major power, has been shot down over U.S. airspace since I was born. And that's just one indication that this situation is rapidly escalating, and it could get out of hand for good or for bad. It could get out of hand by accident, which is really the purpose of Nina's 99 Red Balloons. She tells about going out with a friend in the park, and they release these balloons into the sky, and then what happens? 99 ministers meet to worry, worry, super scurry, call the troops out in a hurry. Then the doo-doo gets deep. This is it, boys. This is war. This is what we've waited for. Then she tells about the jets scrambling and knights of the air, which is how the German Luftwaffe saw themselves when Grandpa battled it out over European skies with them, as mounted knights. Everyone's a superhero. Everyone's a Captain Kirk. People get this inflated view of themselves when they're put at the controls of a war machine. And then how does the song end? I may actually play this first. It's all over, and I'm standing pretty in this dust that was a city. Nuclear war breaks out over a balloon. And of course, in this telling, it was a miscalculation. It was an accident. But world war can erupt also due to a provocation. Which is it? The world waits to see. But right now, all we know is that things could go wild weasel very quickly. Here's Nina.
99 dreams I have had, and everyone a red balloon. It's all over and I'm standing pretty in this dust that was a city. If I could find a souvenir just to prove the world was here. And here is a red balloon. I think of you and let it go. You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got. Set them free at the break of dawn, till one by one they were gone. Back at base, box in the software, flash the message, something's out there, floating in the summer sky. 99 red balloons go by.
The high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. These are the nations of the world. It is a strange time where many men are scrambling to save their nations, or scrambling to get out of their nations to save themselves. And we must remember this word of the Lord, the final verse of Ezekiel 17, that the Lord will cut off the nations, even those special nations where the Lord has chosen for his name to dwell, even the special nations that are the apple of his eye. Let's read your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Ezekiel 17:24. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. And this is really a beautiful parable and a beautiful allegory. The Lord says to the prophet, set forth a parable and the allegory of my people. And of course, where this talks about the trees of the field, he's talking about the nations. And when God crushes a nation and makes an example out of it, that is a lesson for the other nations to learn. As a citizen of the United States, my nation has learned that the least. It's been a nation that has easily crushed other nations and has not learned the lesson that it's God that causes the tall tree to wither and the low tree to grow tall. The humble nation God will raise up into a mighty nation. And this is where the gospel gunslinger and the patriot, the lover of his own nation, has to consider whether we will purge and purify our own nation or whether we will do like Ezekiel 17 and send forth our roots and our branches to another eagle, to the imposter, whether we'll go after idolatry and go after Satan that's impersonating the Lord. So let's read what John the Baptist said. This is Luke 3:9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So this has to do with individual people, and it has to do also with nations. And let's see what the Lord Jesus said about this. Luke 7:19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's in red in the book of Luke. Maybe, just maybe, we can purge our own nations and make the cut, because the axe is at the root. It is ready. The hand of God is ready to destroy nations in this hour. And if we do not purify our nations from the inside, God will destroy them.
Lights are on, but you
Oblivion is all you crave. So go the lyrics to that tune. We're kind of doing Atomic Blonde, Rubia Atomica, early 80s Cold War theme for you tonight. And we're also talking about the appetite, the lust for sex and for power that brings down individuals and brings down nations. And right here on Pastor Sam's Latin America War Report and Migrant Invasion News, we have reported to you several times that the Philippines was thinking about coming deeper into the U.S. orbit, deeper into U.S. military cooperation, was thinking seriously about confronting China and lining up with the USA against China. Now, there are globalist forces involved big time. Really, China would like for the USA to get in a war with them so that they can stamp us out. And that's what China Joe is trying to do. Dementia Joe bumbling around and stating flatly twice that the USA would defend Taiwan in the event of an invasion with military force. Then the White House immediately walking back those comments. But nevertheless, these nations, great nations of the world, are lining up. South Korea, Japan, the Republic of China, that is Taiwan, Free China. And now the Philippines is lining up as well. I suggested they might. I hoped they would. I have prayed to this end. And here we go. Taipei Times reports U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin meets the Philippine Secretary of National Defense Carlito Galvez Jr., and they shake hands at a news conference in Quezon City, announcing that four new U.S. military bases will be built on the Philippines. They're not permanent, okay? We're not taking over. Nevertheless, these are very serious military installations that are already under construction. There is serious preparation in Oceania for a hot war, and it will affect the American. When I was a kid in the 80s and Robert Palmer was singing Simply Irresistible, the USA had a base at Subic Bay, Olongapo, Philippines. And in that base, known not only for its dog and pony shows, but for its deep water and dry dock facilities. And yes, the sex deviancy in Olongapo was so bad that, in my experience, every sailor that took shore leave in Olongapo had demonic hang-ons and Klingons. They had serious problems from going into a city that was that corrupt. Of course, it was our own fault, because the sailors were there wanting all that. Nevertheless, this port was so capable in the event of battle damage to a ship and the necessity to take warships into dry dock that if we lost access to Subic Bay, that the next nearest base was Honolulu, was Pearl Harbor, really on the other side of the Pacific, many thousands of nautical miles away. And I was concerned that we might lose access to that unique and critical naval facility. And of course, under disarmament, decolonization, and detente, we did lose that facility. Those three Ds are the three weapons that Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev said he would conquer the West with without firing a shot. Detente, decolonization, and disarmament. So the USA lost the base at Subic Bay, Olongapo, Philippines, and now it looks like we have got it back. Praise the Lord. Reading a little more from Taipei Times, the Allied Nations also said in a joint statement that substantial progress has been made in projects at five Philippine military camps where U.S. military personnel were earlier granted access by Philippine officials under the Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement, EDCA, adding that construction of U.S. facilities has begun. So the CBs are on the ground in the Philippines creating God knows what, airstrips, supply depots. I can only say that the resources of the Philippines are vital to winning a global war. Land, airstrips, islands, shoreline, fish, minerals, humans, the soldiers of the Philippines, very brave. And agricultural products, including rubber, very, very important in any war. China needs resources too, so their big plan is to get all that from the Americas. Even from Mexico, a legitimate sovereign nation and very much purposed not to be put over a barrel by China, InsightCrime.org reports on illegal mining in cartel-controlled areas. The illegal extraction of iron reached a peak in 2014 when authorities seized 119,000 tons of the metal, that is, iron, at the nearby port of Lázaro Cárdenas that was set to be sent to China. That is a lot of iron. That's 3,000 full semi-truckloads of iron. But in December 2022, Inside Crime traveled to Aquila and neighboring towns to assess local organized crime dynamics. According to interviews with various members of different self-defense groups, now, those are some gospel gunslingers right there. Self-defense groups along Michoacán's Pacific coast, there are many illegal mines across the towns of Aquila, Coya Guayana, and Lázaro Cárdenas. Interviewees added that these mines are largely controlled by the Cartel Jalisco Nueva Generación and remaining members of the Knights Templar. Those interviewed suspected that the extracted iron was sent to China by criminal groups in exchange for precursor chemicals used to make synthetic drugs. Wow. Well, whatever payment is made, this is the currency of war, is raw materials and labor. So that's what's being sent to China. I got the nicest imaginable compliment the other day out on the Rancho. Some of you may know that I trained a horse from zero, a horse that had never been ridden and never been saddled, never had a bit in its mouth. And out in the sticks, without proper equipment, I took that young filly, and I don't really like the word break, but I did train and teach and got that horse to walk, run, and ride. Everybody was watching me. A lot of people really wanted me to fail and really wanted to laugh at me. But a lot of people were really impressed that I did know what I was doing. But this was the nicest compliment of all. The old cowboy who had loaned me the saddle in order to do this asked me to break one or two young colts that he's got that, again, have never been ridden, don't know the first thing about having a saddle put on them or being handled. In fact, he didn't just ask me to do it. He asked what I would charge to come do it. So that is a very, very fine compliment for the most experienced horseman in the country to personally ask to pay me to train his young colts. Well, I didn't charge him. Nobody out here's got any money unless they sold drugs to get it anyway. So, you know, I'm happy to receive a favor or two from him in return. But I went over and handled that colt for the first time, brought him up, brushed him, picked up his front feet. First time he'd ever had a human being come and pick up his front feet. And then I went and had a cup of coffee with the old cowboy. And I finally had the freedom to speak, to say something that had been on my heart for a good while. Because all these people know that I'm a black belt, know I can break bones, know I can break concrete with my hand, know I'm a gunslinger and an expert marksman. And more than that, a snap shooter and a wing shooter who will make the decision and hit the trigger in a moment, in the blink of an eye. They all know that, although they haven't seen it. So everybody's wondering where I draw the line. So here I am with the old cowboy, and I said, "You've seen me handle these horses, and you know that I have a very gentle manner with them. But I also, yo también castigo, I also punish them. Y también creo en el castigo de la muerte. And I also believe in the penalty of death. And the problem in these lands is so many people have committed crimes worthy of death, and they've been allowed to slide, they've been allowed to live. In the Bible, there was no question of who was going to raise their bastard grandchild because that child died in his mother's womb when she was stoned at the door of her father's house. Here it is in your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Deuteronomy 22:21. If the tokens of virginity be not found in the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die because she hath wrought folly in Israel. To play the whore in her father's house, so shalt thou put evil away from among you." In the next verse, the man also dies for illegally lying with a woman. Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. You're listening to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers on WBCQ 7.490 and WRMI 9955. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" In 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday very soon they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans preferred. The old cowboy's eyes were just getting bigger and bigger and bigger as I went down this line with him. And now I had progressed from training the neighbor's filly to training his own uncut colts, his stallion colts. And I had told him what everybody knew but hadn't exactly heard me say, that I have a very gentle manner with these animals, but at the same time, I do punish them, si los castigo, and I also believe in the death penalty, and that the problem in these parts in cartel country is that there's so many people who have committed crimes worthy of death and just go on, and everybody acts like it's just fine, and they're a part of the community even. So then I moved up on my final point to really bring this close to home for him, and his eyeballs were as big as silver dollars and froze listening to me. And here's what I told him. I would have shot your old mare down in the field when she came and kicked me. The fact is, it's a miracle she didn't break my femur. She kicked me so hard. And I told the old cowboy, if I had been carrying my magnum pistol like I do at all times, circumstances permitting, I'd have had it out in my hand, and I'd have put one in the air. And if she didn't bolt after I fired one warning shot, I'd have nailed her on the spot. And I told him, this is nothing new. I've been all different places. I've faced down moose, bears, panthers, grizz, wild wolf packs, and all of them know. That I'm willing to use lethal force at the drop of a hat. And this man, a tough old man, was just transfixed and stunned looking at me. He's accustomed to dealing with the cartels, accustomed to dealing with drug dealers, corrupt, bribe-taking police, and everything else. And yet, here is the Bible believer, and he sees that I am as cruel and as vicious, more so even, than all of them, than all the wicked. Well, friends, I invite you to be a survivor, to put into practice the words of the Lord Jesus from your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day for today, Luke 22 and 38. They found out that they didn't have enough swords for everybody to quite fulfill the Lord's commandment, but they found a couple. I'm going to read from 36. Then said he unto them, the Lord Jesus, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. We are human beings made in God's image. We have a right to not be victims. You take up the sword and protect yourself. Kenny Loggins, Danger Zone, from the original 1986 Top Gun movie soundtrack. A little bit of a tribute to the flyboys that are going after the Chinese balloons, blasting them out of the sky. At least one they blasted out of the sky. You need to know that in all this talk of peace, oh, just a little bit longer, just a little bit more, just a little bit more rule by corrupt regimes, corrupt governments, a little bit more intrusion by the Chinese into our hemisphere. This is what people are allowing when they want to wait. But soldiers, they're like a war horse. They're chomping at the bit. a motto of the 82nd Airborne Division, the All-American Airborne Division of the United States Army, is this: pray for war. Pray for war. And people that are out there training every day, they do want to go out and get it. When they're behind the stick of those war machines and revving up the engine, listen to her howl and moan. Those thousands and thousands and thousands of horsepower and jet exhaust, the afterburners, the smell of the fuel, the burning rubber. It gets in your blood. And it's in my blood. My great-grandfather was a barnstormer, one of the glory days of the Army Air Corps of World War I that pioneered aviation. My grandfather flew heavy bombardment with the mighty 8th Air Force. He flew many missions over occupied Europe, including several long hauls all the way to Berlin. And there is an exhilaration. Even peaceful men feel the exhilaration when it's time to crank up the beast. In anger, when it's time to take it to the enemy that has come at you for so long. When it's time to ride into the danger zone, Kenny Loggins says. Feel the energy as we take the fight to the enemy. We're going to do one more from the Top Gun soundtrack. This is Terry Nunn leading up the band Berlin, which, by the way, is an L.A. band. They're not from Berlin, but they used a European sound, a techno sound that really hadn't come to America yet. They were a small band. Terry Nunn almost refused this offer because most of these songs were written for the Top Gun movie, and then artists were found. Kenny Loggins was a little-known artist. He kind of was at the end of his career. He wasn't making it into the new 80s techno and rock era, and he made these songs and just blasted back on the scene with number one hits. And Berlin, of course, did that. They're known as a one-hit wonder. But the Flyboys of old, anyway, were lovers as well as fighters. That's why Grandpa did it. That's why Grandma married him, believe it or not, before he shipped out for his European tour. So after a verse here, I'll spin Terry Nunn in Berlin. Take My Breath Away, a great love song about the lovers being unashamed. Now, somehow, once war has broken out, people are willing to actually fight for love. Let's hit a few news points. This is RT.com, and we reported last week, I told you all about the Spanish-American War and how this was the breakout for us to have a free hemisphere, for the New World to finally be free of the European and colonial yokes. Of course, RT is going to paint the U.S. as the imperialist overlord, the mother hen, always trying to rope other nations into our orbit, and not China roping other nations into her orbit, which is the way that I see it. But let's read from this article, RT.com. History in many ways repeats itself. I'm just going to read it. The Philippines and other associated territories were the launch pad in which America forced itself into becoming a Pacific power. The Spanish-American War at the twilight of the 19th century saw the United States annex territories which were once part of Spain's global early modern empire, the Philippines being one of them. America saw these islands as a critical gateway to the world's most lucrative and important shipping routes. The Philippines existed as an American colony before finally gaining independence in 1946. After that, acting as a U.S. Cold War military platform, a bulwark of anti-communism in Asia. Yes, the Philippines was a very important stepping stone for the Pax Americana. You are our welcome, world, for how many years now? 80 years almost? Pretty much global peace, regional conflicts here and there, and it was Uncle Sam that did that. Obviously, the writer of this RT article did not ask a Latin American. They did not ask a Peruvian. They did not ask a Colombian. They did not ask someone from Argentina, Chile, or one of the bigotones from Mexico. They did not ask them how they felt about being plundered, dominated, crushed, and interbred, as raped even, as a mechanism of conquest, and that for centuries. And when did it finally end? The Spanish-American War. So, rah-rah Admiral Dewey and Teddy Rough Rider Roosevelt, those were the good old days where Americans were red-blooded. You know, I really don't identify much with the Flyboys of today. Val Kilmer tells in the 1986 filming and release of Top Gun, on the extra disc, he tells that he actually met a lot of these fighter pilots, and they loved his character, the Iceman. He said, said that he met all the fighter pilots and drank with them, the real guys that did the flying for that movie, and took them up for rides. So he said, "I got home after hanging out and drinking with these guys, and I had a bruise about the size of a silver dollar right in the middle of my chest." And he said, "And it wasn't until I thought back on the night that meeting pilot after pilot, they all poked him with their index finger right in the chest and said, 'You're the one that's most like us. You're the only one we like. You're the one that understands us.'" And the fact is, these people are super geniuses, the jet jockeys of the 80s and of today. They are have perfect SAT and ACT scores. Some of them speak other languages. They have master's degrees and doctorates. Sometimes a doctorate over here and another doctorate in another area. They're just off the chart as far as their reflexes and as far as their intellect. And they also have to have killer instinct and be very cruel. My friend, who was an Air Force chaplain, said, "If I walked into a military bar, the number one person that I would not like to fight..." Now, this is fist fight, okay? Not behind the levers of a war machine. Not on the foosball table. Fist fight. He said, "Not the Navy SEAL. Not the Marine Recon, not the Knuckle Dragon special operators that are trained in hand-to-hand combat and killing. The fighter pilot. That's the guy. That's the guy that I would not want to fight or tangle with, because they are so intelligent and so quick to go for the jugular and for the kill." I'll tell you why. A lot of them have angel blood. And if you don't know, this is one of the taboo Bible subjects that I've written the book on, the Nephilim, about the Nephilim and the giants and angel blood, not only in those days, but as Genesis says, and afterward also. So those articles, those audio files and video links are on my blog if you're interested. And make sure you catch the Philippines from last week. Just go to t.me/livingbythesword, and right there's the show archive. You can get all the radio shows we broadcast into Latin America. A landmark federal court ruling this week by Trump appointee Judge Corey Wilson, striking down as unconstitutional a broad range of firearm seizures. It's been all the rage this past couple of years talking about red flag laws, where a person's declared basically insane or cuckoo, and then all the fetty feds come in, their communist party, and their jackboots, and take their guns by force. Can you believe that? In the United States, in free America, yeah, they come in and take people's guns by force, and a lot of times they just shoot the guy in the process. At the very least, they shoot their dog, just like in the Chick Publications booklet, Jesuits. Oh, they come right in, kicking the door, and shoot the dog. Fetties salivate at night, licking their lips, dreaming of shooting a guy's dog. So long before the red flag laws, there was the crazy ex-girlfriend law. Yeah, any guy with a crazy ex-girlfriend or a crazy ex-wife under this law cannot own or possess or carry a firearm. Let me see if I can read this right. I believe it's 18 U.S. Code Section 922G8. The Hill says, "Through that lens, we conclude that this ban on possession of firearms is an outlier that our ancestors would never have accepted. Therefore, the statute is unconstitutional, and Rahimi's conviction under that statute must be vacated." Those are the words of Judge Corey Wilson. So that is the news, but why did it get struck down? Why did God move to restore the gun rights of thousands and thousands and thousands of red-blooded, iron-slinging American patriots, good old boys? Here's why. Because the crazy ex-girlfriend law was used against me. And listen, any weapon that comes against me, I will use prophecy to put it in the hurt locker. We're going to come right for the William the Refrigerator Perry, just like the police helicopter, just like any other weapon that's been used personally against me. We're going to come and destroy it by the word of our testimony in the blood of the Lamb. Here's your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. A beloved verse, very little understood. Isaiah 54:17. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Above it says that the Lord created the blacksmith, which means today all the smart engineers and their computers and their little Texas Instrument calculators, they're war machines. Like Andy defiantly said in The Shawshank Redemption, anything you put in my mouth, you're gonna lose. You can do that, people of the Americas. You tell them if they touch you, Jesus is gonna get them. Those GDG men, they do not ever learn. They never learn. They probably never will learn. Well, the Bible says that the kings of the earth will learn, and that they will lick the dust of the prophet's feet. Elijah found favor in the third captain of 50 after fire fell from heaven and devoured the previous captains and their 50s. Heck, I would even call off the fire dragons off of Chile if President Gabriel Boric stopped being a Chinese cutout. Yeah, the fires are bad in Chile. I mean, firenados and everything. Colombian President Gustavo Petro tweeted that he would send a military aircraft down with firefighting specialists to assist the nation of Chile to help out his camaradas. I've been reporting about the descent of an Iron Curtain over South America and even Central America, and it is happening. And there are new attacks this week against Guatemala, the other key Taiwan ally, key continental ally of the island nation of Taiwan. The week before were attacks against Paraguay. This week the attacks are against Guatemala. If we have time, we'll get to that. But we can't get too comfortable in the idea that global government is coming. Global government has been here for a long, long time. Alberto Rivera, ex-Jesuit priest who came out from the Catholic Church and wrote the book on her machinations and misdeeds, stated that there was a universal signal, a signal for all of the cells around the world. This includes communist cells, Masonic cells, other cults that are harlot daughters of the Roman Church. It includes all the militarized groups, including all the narco armies, all the anarchist and narcotics trafficking insurrection armies of the Americas, for example. All around the world on this queue, all the embedded infiltrators also, like the G-men of today and generations past. It was long into the last century when Catholic recruitment in those organizations and recruitment of Mormons, a harlot daughter of the Roman Church, those became the new officers. Those became the new Fetty Fetties. That became the FBI. And we're talking way back before Gunderson retired, I believe in 1970. So at that time, 50 plus years ago, our federal bureaus were heavily infiltrated, the Postal Service included. I can't get a fair shake from the Postal Service even today. Because even before overt affirmative action, which has been going on for many decades, there was an undercover affirmative action where more and more adherence to the Roman Church, to Romanism, to the Roman mysteries, victims of pedophilia, which is right there with Rome wherever she's found, as the old joke goes about the Irish priests, wherever you find four, you're liable to find a fifth. That is, there's going to be a bottle. There's going to be a bottle of liquor if you find four priests together. Okay, enough jokes. This was the signal for all the cells worldwide to rebel and rise up and smash the old order of the world, the Pax Americanas and the Free Americas. This was the signal that the President of the United States would give his inaugural address facing the Washington Monument, which is an obelisk. It is a phallic symbol from Egypt, and the forefathers of America drew from all the great cultures of the world when they designed Washington, D.C. There were Masons involved in that, and we have this Washington Monument today, which is just like the one in St. Peter's Square. January 20th, 1980, President Ronald Reagan and his inaugural address. And of course, he didn't set this up. Those around him set it up. This was an American president who was going to take America back. And this is why we see Rambo and Top Gun and Braddock and all the move in the 1980s towards nationalism and towards fighting imperialism from other nations and the different arms of Rome, including communism, the rider on the red horse of Revelation. So when, by some landslide of public will, a mostly red-blooded American took the presidency, the wicked had to throw the switch, push the red button, authorize anarchist cells all without around the world and all their infiltrators to attack. Of course, it would have been 1981, excuse me, because the Reagan campaign was in 80, the vote was in 80. January 20th, 1981, he gave his inaugural address facing the Washington Monument. And 100 days later, the neoliberalist, neocon, warmongering Vice President George Bush very nearly took the presidency because Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr. in a devastating assassination attempt. The assassination attempt alone indicates that the cells around the world did indeed activate. Of course, Reagan never reigned in his full strength after that. They succeeded in packing his cabinet with neocons. George Bush was right next to him, George Bush the Elder, as vice president. And later, he became president. So the neocon wars began, the sandbox wars began, the Clinton presidency and the rampant drug trafficking in an apparent pendulum swing to the other side. But all of that was orchestrated. And of course, with the year 2000, we see President Bush Jr., George H.W. Bush, and 9/11, the World Trade Center came down, and the last vestiges of freedom with it. The good news, a live dog's better than a dead lion, and we have a chance to stand up and fight. I'm going to leave you with Terry Nunn. If only for today, I'm unafraid. She sings, "Take My Breath Away."
Take my breath away.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.